session number 23827, Reel 12.
John Street, Reel 12. So how long did you stay in Germany altogether?
Well, about 5 years it was, right. I think, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that takes us up to what sort of... towards
69, 70? Yeah, and we came back from there, and I was posted again to a flying job. I flew, posted to St Athens as a station now officer, but again, it was a job that had been degraded and gone down. The post would be disestablished eventually because the RAF was changing in its way of doing things.
So they were closing lots of airfields, were they? They were closing lots of stations.
Yes, but they weren't closing them. It was just the fact that they didn't think it was necessary to have a full-time flying crew on a station like St Athens, because all we did was test fly the aircraft.
Right.
It was easier to get the squadron to send a crew down to test fly them. Mm. When we had cameras, of course, I could test fly them and that. It was a nice job. It was a job that was it done me to the end of my service, if I could. But it did, in fact, fall through. And I went off to, was posted off to my last tour at Kemble.
Kemble?
Again, on air traffic this time. Wow. And
how did you like that?
I enjoyed that because... I went there as again, the RAF have been a bit silly time. I was sent there mainly to be the liaison with the Red Arrows. Mm-hmm. But this was not a job that needed to be done because they were stationed at Little Risington. And when they took off at Little Risington, or they took off, they did actually keep their aircraft with us. Mm-hmm. They would fly, and all they would do, they would take off, and they would come back and land. They did their practices over us, but it seemed a pointless having a full-time man on it because I couldn't go to take over the tower, say it, in Germany or somewhere like that. I mean, that would be heard of, and I couldn't quite see the point of me. I thought it was a bit of a waste of a job.
Yeah.
So I went into the air traffic properly, into the air traffic. But they... They gave me a title. I was the air supervisor. We had an air a senior man in the tower, but for some of them, I was known as a supervisor, and I stayed there until the end of finished my career in the trap.
Were you looking forward to finishing, or
no? I wanted to stay in.
Right. How old were you? You left in what, 79?
I left on my birthday when I was 49.
Yeah. Was 1970.
Yeah.
So you were quite sorry to leave then.
I was really upset. I had hoped that I could stay in. I had heard there were people staying in after they were 49. Mm-hmm. I think if somebody had gone out their way, I could have stayed in, but I didn't, and I came out.
Mm. What was actually leaving? What was your discharge like at the end? Is it lots of parties?
No, it wasn't, because unfortunately Kemble only had about four or five officers there. I did, in fact, they did dine me out. They dined two of us out, but I think I was dined out about 3 or 4 months before I left.
Yeah.
They gave me a going-away present. Yeah. But rather, I was saying, I'm not unfortunate, but the man that was dined out with me was a civilian. He'd been in the Air Force as a boy, and they worked his way up, and I am become quite high in the RAF civilian side. And his call to fame was the fact he'd been one of the few survivors of one of the airships that crashed.
Really?
So at the dining in, I had one officer there, the station commander from a Gook Air Commodore, I think he was then, who was quite a senior man in the Air Force. Mm. He was my guest, but never any friends, because none of them lived, never nobody around there that could come.
Yeah.
I had plenty of friends on the station, you know.
Yeah.
But this other fellow, of course, had everybody from their ministry there, because he'd been, as I say, he'd been a corporal, I think, and got out the back of this airship, and from there he'd gone on quite
yeah.
in the engineering world. So the actual spotlight was on him, I mean. Yeah. But so, I mean, I got dined out, and I got up and yeah. said me a little piece. And
yeah, lovely.
So you're
49, what are you going to do? What did you think you'd
Well, done? That was the trouble. I found that civilian life was a very welcoming, open their arms and welcome, even more
Where
than
did
they did
go?
In...
Because you've been in the RAF so long, you'd never really had a home, had you?
No, I had to get a job and a home, and so we picked out where we thought we ought could live, and my wife thought she might like to go back to Lincoln. Right. We'd been in Lincoln for 13, 14 years. We had two Lincoln children, two yellow bellies, but the outlook of employment there was very low, both for myself and for my children, because I had three children now.
Yes.
Or four children. No, I had four children now.
Yeah.
Because we had a child quite late in life, a little girl, yeah. Paula. And but I thought, well, you know, it's Lincoln's not a very good place. Mm-hmm. So the next place was Bristol, because my mum still lived in Bristol. Although Neaton have come back here, I don't think. My sister was living here then in... but I came back to Bristol, and I tried for various things. I wanted to get into the training, because when I was at Kemble, one of my secondary duties was in fact involving with the training people, civilian side, and I knew quite a bit about the training grants, but I couldn't seem to click in this job. And eventually somebody said to me, why don't you try the bank? So I went down to the bank, and it was, with my pension and that, that seemed to be enough money to live on. We had some money put aside. I bought this, so we came down. Oh, well, very lucky, I hit the bank, and he said to me, where do you live? I said, well, at the moment, I'm living at Kemble, I've got to get out, so I've got to find somewhere to live. He said, oh, we got a flat going at Thornbury. So we moved into this flat over the bank in Thornbury.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And then, of course, we started looking for a house. And, of course, being now in the bank, and I've been in about 4 or 5 months when I hit this bank, I got to know people, and people got to know I wanted a thing. And not my bank, but another bank, National Westminster, had this house, which they'd got because the bloke had vanished.
Yeah.
He'd ran off, and they reclaimed it. Mm. And the houses were going for about £5,000 around this place, but I had a double plot, and Jim was still very keen on gardening. Ooh, that was the biggest mistake I ever made. So I decided on this, but they said, oh, well, because it's got the double plot, £5,500. And I said, no, come on, we're talking. And because I thought it was comparatively cheap. I got it for £5,250. And of course, I got a good rate of exchange on my mortgage from Barclays Bank. And we moved in.
And you stayed working with Barclays, did you?
And I stayed working with Barclays. I was 65.
Yeah, excellent.
And then I left them. And yeah. Unfortunately, life did have one cruel trick left, because my wife's birthday was in February, mine was in March, and I was going to leave Barclays on the 16th of March. Mm-hmm. On about the 13th of February, her birthday was on the 13th of February, just after the 13th of February, she died suddenly in her sleep. So everything that we'd, all the children were away now.
Uh-huh.
The elder boy and girl were civilians, and the girl lived down the road here. The other boy lived down at Yeovil, or Clevedon, I think, then. Yeah, Clevedon then. my younger boy was in the army and doing very well, and Paula was just gone off to college, the university. So we had an empty house.
Yes, yeah.
So they had all come home, of course, and we buried my wife, we buried the mother. And Paula went, everybody went back where they were supposed to. And but I'd, in fact, First of all, we hadn't been to Italy since 1966, and we were going there for about 3 or 4 months. Well, I had to... Luckily, I hadn't got too far on that, and I managed to get most of the money back. But I'd in fact booked to go to Germany, and they weren't very happy when I wrote to them and said to them, well, I don't want to go. And in the end, Paula, who was the youngest, she said, oh, Dad, I'll come with you.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, you're going to have to sleep with me, you know. No, she said, that's all right, don't worry about that. She didn't worry about it. But we didn't actually, so they managed to fiddle around, so we slept separately. Well, but I was always a bit embarrassed when I was going. She was 18 now. Slept with me when she was 2. But
that's right, yeah. So you did how long in the RAF altogether then?
Well, they gave me 30 years.
30 years.
They were very kind to me. They gave me 30 years. Mm. And they gave it to me as though I'd been commissioned longer than I actually had.
Yeah. So how happy were you with your pension?
Well, at the time I was quite happy, but I don't think it goes up enough as time goes on. When I think of the pension my boy gets compared with the pension I've got, I mean, there's no comparison, and he's only a warrant officer sort of thing, you know. I think the pensions could be more, but saying that, I suppose, where are they going to get the money from? But it's a pity that the cost of living goes up so much.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the bank pension I got was, when I got it first, I mean, it seemed quite a lot of money, but, I mean, I've just had a letter and they gave me 1% this year. Well, 1%, I mean...
Doesn't do much, does
it? They don't pay for...
But the RAF gives you more than that.
Oh, the RAF are much more grateful than that, yeah. But I still feel that... you see, just after I left the Air Force, they gave the old Air Forces a big bump in... Well, that wasn't reflected in my pension, but it was reflected in the pension of people... You see, a friend of mine who stayed that extra 5 years to 55, he has got a much larger pension than me, much larger.
Really?
I think, seeing that... seeing he wasn't commissioned during, you know, as long as I was, he's got a much larger pension than me. Because he was getting so much money, more.
Yeah. So do you think the RAF keeps an eye on its pensioners? Do you have any contact with any benevolent group or...?
No, I've never bothered. Mm. I got a friend that belongs to the Pension Association. He goes to the meetings and he tells me what's going on. But again, a lot of the time it's... They don't get anywhere over there. They put these things forward and they don't get anything. I managed to get a pretty... I got a lump sum out of them from my deafness, which is the aircrew deafness, Lancaster year. But I can live on the pension. I mean, I got this big empty house I could get rid of any time. I keep this basically for accommodation for the children.
Yeah.
But rather unfortunately, at the moment, I've just learned that my son, the one in the army, is separated from his wife. And of course, they were the biggest users of it because he would come down with his... She's a Western girl.
Right, yeah.
And they would come down and they'd stay 3 weeks here with their two children. Yes. And I enjoyed that. Mm. I don't suppose I should... Well, he says he'd come down with the girls, but I don't know.
Wait and see. Well, it's been a fascinating story. Is there any other thoughts about the RAF you want to give me, or?
No, I think it was basically a good life. I since I've left the RAF, I've had a lot to do with the Air Training Corps, and I've got no worry about trying to tell people. I'm not supposed to do it, and we're not a recruiting service, but they do ask me, and I say, well, if you're a normal person. And you're pretty easy going, you know. You don't mind, because there is the old, even now I think what they used to call bull, you know, where you've got to dress up specially.
Yeah.
But I find it we have dining in nights in the air training ground. These 14 and 15 year old boys, they love it, and the girls by the come along in their dance dresses, and they sit there and they. You know, they don't get up until after the Queen's toast. And
that's it. So the traditions go
on. They seem to like it. They behave themselves. And much more I find sometimes when you get some older man like me invite his children that have never been perhaps in the air training corps. They're the ones that get drunk and make fun of the tradition, you know. And but the ones that are kind of in the air training, and they seem to like it. My eldest daughter, she loves going with me with these places. And well, I'm the youngest one. Yeah. They both go with me now. If I got to take a good woman, I take them. And they both like it. And you know, sometimes they're quite pleased because you do meet some. This eldest one, she lived raging on the fact that she was hostess to Dahl, you know, the writer.
Oh, Roald Dahl, yeah.
I was his host. And
that's right.
I was chairman that year, and he was our guest of honour.
Yeah.
And his wife, the actress wife, we had a lovely time with them. My daughter always tells me for the. I met him. What are you doing in school today? I'm reading a giant peach. Met him.
Lovely. Well, I'll just say thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been, that's lovely. Thank you. I'll just say John Street, end of reel 12.